South Hazleton's Anna Martin has been living on the run for over 5 months. The mother of four sped across northern BC searching for an affordable place to live. Martin and her children lived in her red minivan camping campgrounds across Terrace and Prince George, and she tells Daybreak's George Baker what it's been like for her and her children.
It's been extremely stressful. They're tired of being homeless. They keep asking me, when are we going to find a home? And since we've been in Grand Prairie, they've told me that they don't want to move again. They're just tired of moving, and they're tired of living in transition homes, hotels, the van. They just want to get a home.
You mentioned in the newspaper that you have been, during this time, you spent about 5 months in a minivan. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What was it like living in a minivan for 5 months?
It was extremely hard and crowded. The kids put up with it. I just hope that I don't have to do it again.
That is Anna Martin. She now lives in Grand Prairie. She says she isn't sure how long she'll be able to keep her kids. And Anna Martin isn't the only mother living in tough conditions. Many low-income single mothers in northern BC are facing skyrocketing rental prices. In fact, we hear that right across the board for many areas in northern BC. The BC Nonprofit Housing Association is in fact tracking surging rental prices across the region. Tony Roy is the executive director for BC Nonprofit Housing, and he joins me on the phone this morning. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay. Boy, my heart really goes out to Anna Martin and what she's going through there.
Yeah, it certainly is just one story of many that we're hearing in northern BC. You've been mapping the costs of renting a home in BC. What's the key finding here?
Well, you know, the data that we have only tells part of the picture for BC's north. I was up in Fort St. John for the North Central Local Government Association meetings this year, and mayors and councillors from across the north were telling me that things are getting tougher and tougher for those who are most in need, right? In a lot of communities, there's real opportunity coming to BC's north, but not everybody's sharing in that opportunity. Like Anna Martin said, sometimes you end up staying in hotels. Well, what happens if the local pipeline company or a mining company buys the local hotel? Well, then you're back in the van for a little bit. So one of the things we want to be able to do is to track BC's progress in providing affordable rental housing. So what we've done is we've created a baseline, and it's what we call our rental housing index. And we've taken StatsCan data, about actually half a billion cells of data, and created a really easy-to-use map of the province where you can click through each community and see how much income renters are making and how much they're spending on rent. It only tells part of the story, but we think it's a good way to start the conversation about rental housing affordability.
Well, let's break down some of those numbers a little bit. You mentioned visiting Fort St. John and the Peace for the meetings. That certainly is a place that is seeing a lot of industry growth, which comes with it higher rental pricing. I was pretty shocked, actually, by the average cost of rent and utilities for Fort St. John and Dawson Creek. In Fort St. John, the average rent, $1,016 a month. How does that compare to the rest of BC?
Well, you know, I think it's probably near the average. It's actually probably 10% above.
Tony, can I just interrupt you for one moment? We're just having a little bit of trouble hearing you on your cell phone. Can you pull it away just a small amount and then give us your comparison?
Sure. I'm
okay,
sorry
perfect.
About that.
Nope, that's perfect. You sound great now.
The I would say it's about 10% above the norm for the province. But I sense that from being in Fort St. John, that the situation is even worse, that I spoke to people there who were bragging to me that they got a basement suite for $1,500 a month. That
wow.
was a two-bedroom. So we're going to be up in Terrace this year holding one of our regional sessions, and we'll get a bit of a sense of what's going on there. Telling the story, though, of what people are paying for rent, it doesn't include the availability question. When I speak to people in Prince Rupert and Terrace and Kitimat, the problem isn't just the cost of rent. Mm. It's the availability. Mm-hmm. They say, well, it'd be great if I could pay $1,000 and if I could get something, but there is nothing. The other problem is the incomes of people in that bottom 25% income group. In Prince Rupert, for example, the average wage of somebody in that bottom 25% of renters is about $10,000. And half of renters in Prince Rupert make less than $32,000 a year. So when that's the amount that you're making, you're going to be spending more than 50% of your income on rent. And that's gross income. That's a real crisis level of spending that leads to homelessness, bankruptcy, problems in the criminal justice system, lots of other social ails that are far more expensive to deal with.
So you're bringing up a lot of fairly surprising numbers, some staggering numbers, really, but what do we do with these numbers, with this reality?
There's a few things we have to do and some things we can do. One, communities need to plan to have rental housing as part of their mix. And when we spoke to municipal leaders outside of the big cities, they told us that they just didn't have enough data to be able to make planning decisions on how much rental housing to have. So as our province starts to set out all these priorities of resource development, bringing in international students, immigration, these are the priorities of the province, immigrant investors, these are all renters. And yet when we plan our communities, we're planning for home ownership. So official community plans are part of what cities can do. The federal government, though, has the biggest opportunity to respond here. And they can respond, really, by doing nothing. Last year, the federal government spent $1.6 billion in social housing. But those were on buildings built 30 years ago that their mortgages are near the end of them now. If they would keep that money in the system, then they'll have billions of dollars in new money coming up in the years ahead to be able to build housing, new housing, for those who are most in need. However, the current plan is to cut it all.
Further to that, I'd like to bring the province into this, too. I know that the communities of Terrace and Kitimat, even to a certain extent Prince Rupert, have been asking the Minister, Rich Coleman, about an affordable housing plan, investing money into these communities before industrial development occurs. There hasn't been much response to that besides the fact that we don't have the money to do this until something like LNG comes on stream. So how much power does the government have really at this point to help out in what you're calling a crisis situation?
Well, I'm hoping we can collaborate with them on some solutions. They certainly have had to fill the void left by the federal government. They also need to step up in terms of things like mental health supports, because sometimes that's part of the equation. But one of the things we're working on with Rich Coleman now is they're in the process of transferring the land that runs affordable housing right now to the sector. And we're going to be buying that from the taxpayer. So the nonprofits will be taking on debt and giving money for that land to the taxpayer. And then the taxpayer will be reinvesting that in affordable housing. So that may be some of the way we get some new money into the system. I'd actually urge them to be a little more bold when it came to BC's north, because if this is going to be your priority as a province, as resource development, let's make sure that those who are most in need aren't pushed aside like Anna Martin and end up living in a van. I mean, those children, I lived in 12 different places by the time I was in grade 12. You know how hard it is to get a good education and to have any stability in your life, any friendships when you're moving that often. And in their case, they have to end up in Alberta. It's not a way for a child to grow up.
Tony, we'll have to leave it there. Certainly a story we will continue to follow on our program. Thanks so much for breaking down the numbers today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Tony Roy is the executive director for the BC Nonprofit Housing Association. What do you think of the numbers? Is it a situation you're facing? Let us know. Daybreak North at cbc.ca is the email address. World Report is next.